This show is sponsored by Bloomerang, a solution that helps nonprofits like Shower Up, which is a nonprofit providing mobile showers and personal care for those experiencing homelessness, to efficiently manage their volunteers and donors in one place. And thanks to Bloomerang, Shower Up increased their volunteer signups by 60% and first-time donors by making it easy to give right on their site. Shower Up's executive director, Paul Schmidt, said, "Bloomerang is an ideal marriage of volunteer and donor management. The deeper we get into it, the more we love it. And if you want to see how Shower Up easily manages their volunteers and donors with Bloomerang, just go to jcsocialmarketing.com/Bloomerang. That's jcsocialmarketing.com/Bloomerang. Or visit the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, let's get to the show. Hello, and welcome to Nonprofit Nation. I'm your host, Julia Campbell, and I'm going to sit down with nonprofit industry experts, fundraisers, marketers, and everyone in between to get real and discuss what it takes to build that movement that you've been dreaming of. I created the Nonprofit Nation podcast to share practical wisdom and strategies to help you confidently find your voice, definitively grow your audience, and effectively build your movement. If you're a nonprofit newbie or an experienced professional who's looking to get more visibility, reach more people, and create even more impact, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome or welcome back to Nonprofit Nation. I'm so thrilled to be here with you today. I'm Julia Campbell, your host. Today, we're going to talk about how to create campaigns that inspire your community. And my guest today is Nikki Porche. And Nikki has founded a 501c3 called Buy From a Black Woman, that's committed to building the largest community of Black women business owners. And through this nonprofit, Nikki equips Black women with the tools and resources that they need to be successful in business. And she's helped Black women founders generate over $2.7 million in revenue in the last year alone, in addition to providing educational programs, funding, and increased visibility through the highest ranking online directory of Black women-owned businesses in the world. And I will put the link in the show notes. Nikki is also a sought-after business consultant, DEI trainer and speaker, a war veteran, and former public school teacher. She continues to run marathons even after she was told that she would walk with a limp forever and never be able to run for extended periods after her knee surgery. And her, "Oh, mom, I made it," or "Mom, I really made it" moment that she strives towards is to be on Sesame Street. I love that. I'm going to ask all my guests that. Like, what is your, like, "Oh, mom, I made it" goal? That's such a great goal. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Julia. It's good to be here.
Oh, my gosh. So there is so much to unpack in that bio. You have quite the career journey. So from going from being a war veteran, a former public school teacher, a marathon runner, how did you get into nonprofit work?
So a lot of my life has been happenstance. Like, of course, everything is working for us good. Things are always working out for me. But a lot of the things have been as a result of another thing. So that's how all of my skills are always transferable, which I always tell all the business owners, like, your skills are transferable. So for me, nonprofit, how did I get a nonprofit? Okay, so I got out the military and I did not have a job and I did not have a plan. I had got like a lot of associate degrees and certificates while I was active duty, because it was free for active duty members to go like to the community college in the city. So I had these things, but I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I had a phlebotomy, an x-ray tech certification. Like, I don't want to do that. That's not what I want to do in my life. Mm-hmm. But I need a job because I have bills and I have my son. He likes food. So there was a lot.
He likes food. As they do.
Every day.
3 meals a day. What are you going to do?
It makes no sense. It's ridiculous. So this one particular day, I was sitting outside of like City Hall, a Coliseum type thing. Because I had no job. I had nowhere to be. So I was just hanging out. It was a nice day. I'm just sitting. So the cars are street parking and a car hits another car. So they hit this car and then they just leave. And I get the license plate and I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll just wait and see if the person who car got hit in the next hour is here so I can explain and give them license plate and tell them what happened. Mm-hmm. So the woman, eventually she comes out and it's her car. I'm like, oh my goodness, is this your car? She's like, yeah. I said, somebody hit your car. And she was like, oh my goodness. Well, did you see? I said, yeah, here's the license plate. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sorry. Like, I was trying to wait, so I didn't have anything to do. So I was just waiting. So she's like, oh my goodness, thank you so much. I actually work at the police department so I could figure this out. If there's anything I ever can do, let me know. I said, well, funny you ask, because I'm looking for a job.
Wow. And she works for the police department, so she's going to get this person.
So she was like, okay, well, if I know anything, you know, I'll send you an email, I'll give you a phone call, da, da, da. I'm like, all right, cool. So a couple of weeks go by and I get an email from her and she's like, hey, go to this church, let them know I sent you. There is this a secretary or assistant position open at this nonprofit that's part of the church. So that's how I got a nonprofit. So I went to it. They gave me the job because that woman spoke on my behalf. Like, oh, she's a good person. She didn't know me from anything. So mm-hmm. She was like, oh, she's a good person, integrity, morals, da, da, da. And then I just shined in the position. It was a very small nonprofit. It's a group of six of us, right? Mm-hmm. And four were full time. And what we did, we like a safe place, a safe haven for children after school. So we would pick them up after school, help them with their homework, have meals, all that stuff. And then the parents would come pick them up and it was free for the community. So mm-hmm. That was the first thing. And then I learned in nonprofit, like, okay, this is the job we hired you for. However, you got to do all the jobs.
This is the job we hired you for. However, you have to do all the jobs. Right. I think a lot of people are absolutely like nodding their head right now.
Yes. So that's when I learned marketing. That's when I learned fundraising, development, programming, all of the things that really is a nonprofit. So that is how I got into it. When I was learning more things about it, I was like, well, you know what? Maybe I'll go back to school because I have my GI Bill. And mm-hmm. I didn't have a bachelor or a master's. I just had associates while I was there. So like, let me go to college and make this work. And that's really how it all started.
So what did you go back to college to study?
So that's another thing. So I study art history, advertising, yes, and marketing design, and graphic design.
Oh, wow. Those are great. That's really, I think those are very useful. And then, well, yes, everything, because you have all the jobs when you're working, yes, in a nonprofit.
Yes.
So then what happened in terms of like what happened in between creating Buy From a Black Woman? Like, how did that come to be?
So I went to school, was working in the fashion industry for a little bit. I was in school in Philadelphia. I lived in New Jersey, tri-state area. So, you know, I was able to do like social media marketing. It was this one small fashion company I won't mention, but I was like their first social media manager. Now I'm telling my age because now you know.
Oh, I was also one of the very first on Facebook. So I know people will know how old we are.
So I had, you know, lived my life in my 20s. So there was something that was happening that I needed to come back to Georgia and handle. So that's when I moved back to Georgia. And I was like, well, I love nonprofit. So I reached out to some of my old contacts, some of my old board members. And they're like, okay, well, here are some places that hire. This is some places are hiring. Mm-hmm. So I started working for Habitat for Humanity, my second nonprofit job. And if anybody knows anything about Habitat for Humanity, like, you are really in it, because I was a local chapter. So mm-hmm. I had two positions getting one paycheck. But, you know, it was just like, it was very fulfilling because I was able to give to the community. And that's when I realized, like, I'm a giver. I'm a person who knows that I get full by serving and helping others. I knew that in the military, which is part of the reason why I joined. But then like being at Habitat for Humanity, it really solidified that, okay, nonprofit is my space. Nonprofit mm-hmm. is where I like connecting with real people, being able to help them in real time, and then seeing the growth of that. It really, really excites me.
So why did you create Buy From a Black Woman? Tell me the story around creating that. And I'm also interested, second part of the question is why you decided to make it a nonprofit.
Yes. I was working at a nonprofit, a different one, not Habitat for Humanity. I was working at a different nonprofit. And I had got looked over for two director positions. And they brought a woman in who was not qualified, had no experience, but she would be my boss.
And I've actually had that happen to me.
One of the first things she said to me was, you are here to make me look good.
That's okay. Well, she's just telling it. She's just telling it like it is, I guess.
Yes. Wow. But I was like, wow. Yeah, this is not going to work for me because I this, no. And she was a friend of the ED. So like, it was very, very well. And I believe in nepotism, believe it or not, Julia. I know a lot of people don't. I believe that if you can help somebody, help somebody.
Right.
But
right.
Make sure that Eric, but she was a skill. So I was unfulfilled at work. So I was literally just going through the motions at that point. I had missed my flight. So on the weekends, because I wasn't working, I was running. So I was traveling, running in different spaces and stuff like that.
Is this after your surgery?
Yes.
Or before? Okay.
This is after. So I had missed my flight. I was supposed to go to Florida to do a race so I can knock that state out, but I missed my flight. And I was very upset that I missed my flight. So the best way to heal my upsetness was retail therapy. So I went shopping. So I'm going shopping. I end up at this one bazaar and there are like handmade goods and people just selling their wares and all this stuff. And it's
in Florida.
No, this is in Georgia.
Oh, Georgia.
I missed my flight to Florida. So this is in Georgia. So when I was at this particular event, there were no Black people there. There were no Black women selling anything. There were no Black people in attendance. It was just me. And I was just learning about what the vendors are doing. One woman in particular, she was selling lip balm and she had sold out. So she was just collecting people's emails. She still had her samples, but she's like, I don't have it. So, you know, leave your email and then I can go ahead when I have some more. And that was my introduction to email marketing and that e-commerce space. I knew the traditional email marketing from nonprofit, but it was like a real eye-opening to see, okay, she can email people when she has inventory and they'll buy from her. I know Black women who don't know this part of it. I know Black women who have better products than what I'm seeing here, yet they're not represented here. We need something for us so people can support. Because I know at that time, it was 2015, 2016, the numbers were starting to increase about Black entrepreneurship and Black women. And I live in Atlanta. So I was seeing like firsthand it just transferring into that space. And it was being supported locally, but I like if more people knew about these businesses outside of my mile radius, and if there's more businesses like these Black women that I know who need help and support, let me do that. So I started blogging first. So before we became a nonprofit, we were a blog. Once a week, I would, you know, just share what I bought from a Black woman business owner and just share it. And then that's when other Black women who were sharing it on social media, I was just using Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and they would share it. And they were like, hey, can you put together a database or something so we can find more businesses? Then other people were like, hey, can I send you some money? Because this is a great, you know, what you're doing is great. I want you to keep it up. So can I send you $20, $30 here and there? And I'm like, okay, well, people are spreading word. They know my mission. They see my vision. They want to support it by telling people and also by making donations. This should be a nonprofit so that I can do more, I can see more, I can be more. Because it's not about me, it's about me being able to help people like me.
Wow. I think that is what you just said is so important, because I think that some people that found nonprofits, they found a nonprofit before they've really expressed what their vision or mission is and before they've gotten buy-in. And that's why they might not succeed. And they might think it's like, you know, rolling a boulder up a hill. But it sounds like you really had this idea and you were trying to see if it would get any buy-in or if it would get any awareness or visibility and support. And clearly it was proven. And then you transitioned into founding the nonprofit. So what was your experience when you actually took it into being an organization?
Yeah, so just my experience of working. At that time, I had worked at seven different nonprofits, both big and small. So I saw what it looked like to have a team of five, what it looked like to have a team of 500 in so many different departments and just getting on that. I can let people know I was very green in this space because I went into it not to create a business. I was just happy blogging. Like, I'm just going to buy from Black women. I'm going to blog about it. I'm going to become an influencer.
Yes. In this space. <laughs> Like, you know,
like that was the original plan. It wasn't to start an actual business, not to start a nonprofit. It was literally me just going to tell people, tell the world what I was doing. And then it was just me going to all the classes. Here in Georgia, we have Georgia Center for Nonprofits. So going through those leadership development classes, hanging on to mentors, you know, pretending like I want information or I really care about them, which I did for some of them, but some of them I didn't. I just wanted to know, like, how did you get started? How were you able to do this? How do you get your money? What does this paperwork look like? Do you trust this accountant? Well, this accountant said this, how do I get with that? And I have, you know, have good stories and bad stories when it comes to the way that I've been able to grade it. I'm glad I'm in a place now where I can get assistance and help properly mm-hmm. the way that needed. But when people come to me and they're like, oh, I want to start a nonprofit. I see what you did by from Black Woman. I want to start one. I'm like, one, this is a very, very lonely road. So if you are not ready to be by yourself early mornings, late nights to figure things out, because there's so much to figure out, don't do it. And then why do you want a nonprofit? Like, why do you think? And then they say, oh, for the tax rebate, that don't start a nonprofit. Because mm-hmm. if you're going yeah. right into it, like, oh, the tax, like, that's not the real reason. You're yeah. not going to be successful. You're not going to be fruitful. And people are going to see right through your mission, your vision that you're writing on your website.
What were some of your first programs? Because I know now, I mean, you've helped, it says in your bio, you've helped Black women founders generate almost $3 million in revenue because you provide educational programs, funding, you know, networking, I'm sure, partnerships. What do the first stages look like, the first programs that you offered?
So the first one we had was called the Black Woman Business Grant. And this grant was started because I was going through the process of trying to figure out how to start a business. Because again, like I mentioned, I was just happy being a blog. So I'm like, okay, well, I got to get serious about this.
Yeah.
And then the stuff started adding up with costs, like register with the state, register with the city, getting a website, getting emails, getting business cards. Because that's how old I am, right? We were still doing business
cards, Chamber of Commerce, that kind yes. of thing.
You know, so much yep. stuff. So I'm like, I know there's probably a Black woman somewhere who wants to start a business, very serious, but she just does not have a little bit just to get her through. So I took $250 of my money and I was like, okay, I'm gonna give it to another Black woman. And then also this will help me learn about some of the Black woman businesses I can create and collect data because there's an application process. So I can see other needs that might need to be fulfilled in this space. So that was our very, very first program was the Buy From a Black Woman Business Grant. We awarded the grant to Shanae Jones. At that time, she was Ivy's T. She's now Fly's T. And she has reached, you know, the $1 million mark more than once. So we were her first business grant. We gave her $500 because another Black woman saw my $250 and matched it. She said, I see what you're doing. I love it. I can match it. So I'll give you $500. I said, well, that's great. Are you interested in being a board member?
Yes. I love that. It's like, don't do a good thing because, you know, then you'll be asked to be a board member, but that's what happens.
So it is just, it's to see her grow. Cause like she's started her business when she was awarded the grant. And now here we are almost 8 years later and just to see the growth of her business. And it's been phenomenal to watch.
Oh, wow. So you started your community building with the blog and you built a readership and people that actually were asking to support you. Yes. And this is before Patreon and, you know, before you could really like Substack and you could make money blogging. So how did you start? Like, what did you do next to really secure this community? I know you talked a little bit about maybe email marketing. Is that a tool that you used?
Yeah, I use email marketing. I use social media. I was invited to speak at a Facebook event because of my success with my social media page.
Wow.
So like in a year growth, it was just like I had grown my Facebook and Instagram. Instagram, 100,000 and my Facebook page, 30,000 within a year. And they used me as a case study because they had two classes. So the first class is where I learned the ins and outs of everything. And then I was a success story from their first one. So social media was, and it was Facebook and Instagram. And then also I did a lot of community canvases, Julia. And what that okay. means is like I would host events at my house just to build my community. One of the things wow. I would do was call a sip and sew. I sew as well. So I would have like themed sewing days, like whiskeys and trousers. And I would make a whiskey cocktail and teach you how to like sew trousers. And it'll be all different type of Black women from all different type of their communities because they're strangers until they come in the house. Mm-hmm. And then they went back and they told their other community like, oh, I went to the sip and sew. I met this woman named Nikki Porche. She also does this with Buy From a Black Woman. And it just... So a lot of that is, you know, getting out there, again, a lonely road because you have to be friends with everybody, but you don't have time to be friends with anybody. So it's like one of those things where it's just like, you're just, everything is work. Everything is work. So wherever I'm at, I'm talking about Buy From a Black Woman. I got my buttons. This is one of our marketing things. So I'm giving out buttons for free. You know, and then just telling people to tell people to tell people.
Do you think that the simplicity of that message really helped you? I think that it's just because you say on your website, your vision, your mission, really why you exist is in the name of your organization.
Yes. Yes. And I mean,
it's an action. It's like a call to action.
Yes, we say the model is the mission and the message. So it's just like, okay, so our mission is buy from a Black woman. Our model is buy from a Black woman. The message is buy from a Black woman.
Yep.
So it's like literally take it how you want to take it. And then I use buttons. So I don't have one because I'm at my desk. But like we have these little circle buttons with our logo on it. And that's my business card. So whenever I would go somewhere, like one side would have like our CTA or contact, like our website, our email, all that stuff. And then the other one would like have like space for an actual button. So when you're talking to me, you ask me for a card, I would give you a button. And what happens every time without fail, they put the button on automatically. And this is something that I would do at conventions, at conferences.
You're giving me a great idea for this podcast. Buttons. I love buttons personally.
They're very cost effective. And there's a story with my buttons too. I'll get into that. But people would, so like say I'm at a conference and I give you a button, you put the button on.
Absolutely. You put it on your lanyard, you put it, yep.
Yeah. They're like, oh my goodness, where did you get that button from? They're like, oh, the girl over there, this is her business. And now, hey, you came for a button? Yes, I did. Hi, I'm Nikki. Here's your button. What do you do? Who are you? Da, 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 da. So it's just a lot of that, like, I love community. I love building community. I love having community. I really don't understand how people believe they can survive in solos. They're doing themselves a disadvantage. They're doing their organization, their mission, whatever it is that they're doing. You cannot do anything by yourself, especially in this country, especially in the time period that we are. You have to have community with you, for you, and standing up in your space when you're not there. So for me, like, I know I was put on the earth to serve my community. I know that my gifts and talents are here to help Black women be seen, heard, and supported. I know all this, and this is what keeps me going. So in order to do that, I have to be a vessel for my community.
That's amazing. Well, tell me the button story.
So the button story. So when I was younger, you know, I've always been a Black woman. So like that's no new. But when I was younger, we lived in a mixed race neighborhood that was, you know, we were coming together, melting pot in Jersey. My mother had a button and it was Say It Loud. And that's from the James Brown song, right? Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. So we're just in the street, just, you know, kids from all the neighborhoods playing. And it was a little white boy. And he asked me, he's like, well, what are you supposed to say loud? And I was like, I'm Black and I'm Proud. And then he called me the N-word. He's like, oh, you're an N-word. And I was like, no.
Wow.
But that stuck with me throughout my whole life. And it was because of a button. So when I was looking at very cost-effective ways to get the word out about buying from a Black woman, I was like, buttons. People love buttons. They'll put them on. They talk without you even having to say a word. People see the message. They're curious about the message. They understand the message because buying from Black woman is very straightforward. I can buy 1,000 buttons for $100. Yep. Let's do buttons.
I totally agree with you because the button will cause a conversation no matter what it is and what it says. And unfortunately, that was a horrific conversation that you had to endure. But I think with your buttons, if I saw someone wearing that, I would be like, oh, what is that? Like, I would be more interested. You know, I would say, oh, I want to take a picture of that or I want to look that up, because it's really like people walking around with a billboard advertising you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which I think is really cool. And that's that social proof aspect where you're much more likely to listen to your peers or somebody else because you know they're not trying to fundraise or sell you something. You know, you're not as cynical. You're thinking, oh, this person's wearing this button. It must be important.
Yes. And it also helps business owners because they're like, oh, buy from Black one. What do you sell? And that's, you know, always an easy opener for the introvert business owners. So when we're having marketplace and stuff and they put it on, it's a very opener for them.
Love that for the introverts.
Yes.
Okay. I love that idea. So yeah, what do you sell? What does that mean? And it's just a way for it to just like an icebreaker.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so smart. Okay. So what, I have so many more questions for you. So let's keep going with social media. Yes. How do you, I mean, you were really like killing it on social. I saw your Instagram is like 100 and over 100,000 followers, like 123 maybe now. So I know you started completely from scratch, but how do you maintain this momentum? And like, what are your best tips for using social media to create awareness and to, you know, reach supporters?
Automation. First of all, like set up automation.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, right. It can be evergreen, right? Yes. It can be things that I totally agree. I'll let you keep going.
So automation, I am fortunate now I have a team. When I first started, it was just me, but I used the word we. I had a fake intern. Her name was Jay. People thought she was real.
Yes.
And ironically, you know, my mentee, her name ended up being Jaden. So it kind of like, it was very like, so
you manifested.
I did. You're right. So, but now I have a team who helps with it. Prior to, it was just, you know, scheduling. My background in the military is a maintenance scheduler. So like scheduling in my post, scheduling the content. Whenever I shoot something, for example, I will go on a walk and I would record myself in so many different ways on this one walk. But then you can make it slow motion. You can make it fast. You can put words over it. You can put music on it. And, you know, I dress in layers. So maybe I'll take this one off. And then I have a t-shirt and a different street. So you'll think it's a different day. But it's still the same day.
Different scarf. Right.
So like just having like my bookend days where my Monday and Fridays are content recording days, having that and then just planning it throughout. And then having accountability partners is always a good thing, too. I have one friend right now. We're doing 100 TikToks in March is our challenge. So we're
Ooh, a challenge.
Pushing, yeah. We push each other to do more social media so that we can, because she knows my goals. I know her goals. And one of them is it involves because social media, because people have to see you, right, to know that you exist. So we're doing this 100 TikTok thing in March. And it has been, you know, we're on day five. I'm on track. But it really has push my limits to some places. So finding good accountability partners, finding challenges, and then, you know, looking at what other people are doing. Like I do take time to see what other people are doing. People I like, people who I don't like. You know, I have a burner account on social media and also in emails too. I have a fake email account where I sign up for other people's emails so I can just read through them and see what's going on so I can be current. So it's just, I love what I do. So, you know, everything is work for me, but it doesn't feel that way.
It's so important, that research and listening piece, especially when you're trying to grow your own audience on social media, because you can't make people want to follow you. Yeah. You can't make people like, you can't, if you're like, oh, I want to have, you know, young adults 18 to, you know, 25 follow me, you can't be on Facebook. Like you've got to really go where they are and push yourself out of your comfort zone. I really love that. So tell me about the campaign, A Black Woman Year, because this is on social, this is everywhere.
As a Black woman business owner who supports Black women business owners, who founded an organization for Black women business owners, I should be always doing things with and for Black women. I was at an event last year and somebody asked me what I had on, and it was a brand, but it wasn't Black women. And they kind of like looked at me like, oh, and I was embarrassed. I was like, you know what? Thank you for calling me out and keeping me accountable, because why am I wearing that if I'm talking so much about this and doing so much about that? And don't get me wrong, I do buy from Black women. So that's what I'm saying. It's just this particular day I had on like a fancy brand because I was like, I want to, you know, but Black women are the fancy brands. They should be treated as such. So I decided this year is my Black woman year, where the only thing I'm doing is buying from Black women, only using Black women services, and only working with businesses and buying from big businesses who have shown tangible results into the Black economics background, Black women economy. So that's where I'm at. It has made my life simpler, but fun. And also there's been challenges as well, because now I'm learning more about where the gaps are for Black economics, for Black women. I'm learning more about how our shipping is different, the access to certain things, what dominates more for Black women versus like what fields and which areas is kind of hard to find a Black woman on business. I'm learning about pledges that were made that were never fulfilled. People who said they would do things for Black communities and it never sustained. More about what happens at higher levels. I'm in the policy space now. I'm in government spaces because now I'm seeing more holes, which allows me to ask more questions and see more things, where before I just want to make sure people knew these businesses exist. And now I'm like, okay, yes, I can do that, but there needs to be more, because if A's not here, C does not matter. Yep. So now it's like, okay, I'm reverse engineering a lot. And this is only, you know, the third month.
Yeah. It's just, there's a statistic that makes me think in the New York Times story about how Black women are the fastest growing segment of business owners, but the least likely to receive investment from venture capitalists. And it says they account for less than 1% of the $424.7 billion raised in the tech VC funding since 2009. I mean, that is just, that's insane that there's this disparity in funding for Black women-owned businesses.
That, and then every bill that has Black businesses, yep. Black women is getting shut down. We see what's happening with the lawsuits against the Fearless Fund and Hello Alice,
who are affirmative action, everything.
Yes, affirmative action, DEI as well. So it's a lot of stuff. Voting rights is a lot of stuff that is also contributing to the lack of funding. Is the most sexiest way to say that they don't support Black women, you know, because if we get really into it, it's easy to say, oh, they don't fund them, but oh my goodness, there's this and this and this and this. And then people, their consciences start playing on them, you know, and they're just like, oh man, now I'm not as good of a person as I was. Let me continue to ignore this, because now if I know about it, I have to do something, because that's human nature. But if I ignore it, then I can say, I don't know. So they like not knowing. So it's just easy to say, oh, they don't get funding, opposed to everything else that means that they don't get funding.
I think the campaign is so strong because, like, as you document it, it really does shed light on these corners of, you know, these gaps that are here and that will maybe hopefully be solved with policy or advocacy or structural or systemic change. And I think that transition just kind of makes sense. And of course, you're going to be a huge voice in that because you've proven yourself. You know, you've gotten a lot of fantastic press. You have this huge community, this huge platform. So I think that's amazing. So I have one more like tactical question. What's your advice on approaching and securing corporate partnerships? Because I know that your nonprofit, I know Buy From a Black Woman, works with H&M, Goldman Sachs, and others. Mm-hmm. So what would be sort of your advice on approaching and securing these kind of partnerships?
Well, if you are looking to secure partnerships, don't wait for the partnership to happen to do the work.
Yeah, don't wait to be approached.
Yeah. Yes, whatever it is that you want and you're like, oh, if I had money for a partner, I can do this. Start small. One example I'll use is the Inspire Tour, for example. The Buy From Black Inspire Tour is now presented by H&M. So they've come on for that, and we've been doing that for 4 years. But prior to them being a partner, I did it 2 years on my own. So it was just something that I've already done. Again, tested the model. I knew what I wanted to look like eventually, but in order for it to look like that, I had to get started. So then when partners come to me, and the first question, if anybody has ever talked to a corporate sponsor, a corporate partner, the first thing they'll ask you is, so what do you do? How can we help? And, you know, if you have an idea already for them, that's gold. You know, like, oh, I've been doing this for the last 3 years. If we had more money, more resources, it can look like da, 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 da. Or there's some gaps that you might be able to fill to, execute this in a space even further than what I've done already. And then that's a great way to get them to buy in. So don't wait. The second one is know what you want. If a partner comes to you and they're like, hey, we see what you're doing. We really want to work with you. And you're like, okay, then what? Because if you don't know what you want, they don't know what to give you. And then they might shortchange you as well because they're like, well, she don't know what she's doing. So we just want to give her $10,000 and say that we worked with her. And she's going to go over the moon because she's happy for $10,000. But anybody listen, you know, $10,000 don't do nothing.
Not for a nonprofit, no.
It doesn't even move a needle. You're just pulling the needle out. So know what it is that you want. So do the work, know what you want. And then also just be you. Like, they're in corporate, yes, they're different, yes, but you're a nonprofit and you're different. You are the expert. Trust yourself. They are asking you for help because you're going to help their brand in the long run. So, just trust yourself as well.
I love that. Like, know your value, like know what you're bringing to the table. And I think people get so intimidated if they see a big brand or they think there's a lot of money on the table and then they shortchange their own value. It's like you said, just know what you have to offer, you know what you're bringing to the table and know what you're giving them in brand equity and all sorts of things.
And, you know, just for you listening out there, this is all stuff I had to learn as well. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go into it, it was like, you know, I'm Nikki Porche, founder and buyer from a Black woman. I'm going to do. No, there's a lot of work that, you know, came, and I'm not nowhere near where I want to be, like nowhere near it. So, but you have to work and you have to build yourself. So building confidence is part of being a founder, running a nonprofit, because you have to know your numbers, know your stats. And when somebody questions you, have a number and a stat, because they can't just read facts. So mm-hmm. if you have your number, you have your statistic, know your stuff, learn your stuff, put your Google alerts on, know your trade, know other organizations that are like yours, whatever it is that you want to be, find that, stalk them and work towards it.
Yes. I love that. We can stop there, but I want to ask you a couple more questions. Okay. One, tell us about your podcast. How did it start? What's the focus, and how can we listen?
So a Black Woman Podcast had a lot of different starts and, you know, not, because I was like, I have a lot of stuff to say. I know I need to say it, but how do I formulate this? How do I say this? So it started off with me interviewing Black women business owners. I got bored with that really, really quick. I'm not even going to lie to you. I was like, because it's the same story where yes. it's like, oh, okay, I saw a problem. Mm-hmm. This is the solution. I have a business. And then it became a promotional thing. When I say boring, not listen to Black women's boring, but like it became like a promotional podcast.
It was formulaic a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's what the directory is for. This is, we need to have real yes. conversations. Like, I don't want you promoting your business on the podcast. It's like a 30-minute commercial, and we don't need that. I want to know who you are. So then I started interviewing Black women, and that's where we're at today, where, you know, we do Fridays with a Black woman. We have interviews with Black women business owners, and sprinkling in that is me. So sometimes I do affirmations for a month. I do Monday motivations. I'll do like, hey, consider this to be different. I'll share a life lesson or a story of mine and how you can apply that to your business, to your life. So it's really just like, if you ever thought about being my best friend, the best way to start is with a Black woman podcast, because I really am in there just talking like, you know, it's you and me over coffee or whiskey.
I love that. So that website is ablackwomanspodcast.com.
Yes.
And that's where we can listen. And you can just look it up wherever you're listening to this podcast, anyone that's yes. listening. So I think to end, I want to know maybe your number one piece of advice for others looking to start their own, I'm going to say movement. I'm not even going to just say nonprofit. What's your number one piece of advice for others looking to start their own movement like you did?
Do not be intimidated if you think nobody will follow you, because there's so many of them already out there like that. Everybody is looking for certain people. So there are lots of cancer associations, but everybody doesn't have the same type of cancer. Everybody doesn't receive the same type of information from associations. So that's why we have so many and they're being successful. So don't think, okay, theirs is already happening. They're popping. I see Black from Black Woman. I don't want to start something similar to that. Come on, let's challenge it. But also, there is a group of people who are looking for you, who want to be led by you, who mm-hmm. believe in you. So cut out all the noise, put your blinders on, and go for it.
I love that. That's such a great way to end. Nikki, thank you so much. Where can people find more about you and learn more about Buy From a Black Woman?
Yeah. So if you just put Buy From a Black Woman in Google, all roads lead to Rome. Like, you can find.
Yes, that's what I did. And they were all the Instagram, LinkedIn, everything was on there.
Yeah. So it's really just that easy. If you type in Buy From a Black Woman, you type in my name in the Google search and TikTok, anywhere, you'll find us and we can connect wherever you find us at.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to see what's in store. I'm so excited for my readers, my listeners, my fans to connect with you and learn more. So Nikki, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, hey there. I wanted to say thank you for tuning into my show and for listening all the way to the end. If you really enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app, and you'll get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. I would love if you left me a rating or a review, because this tells other people that my podcast is worth listening to. And then me and my guests can reach even more earbuds and create even more impact. So that's pretty much it. I'll be back soon with a brand new episode. But until then, you can find me on Instagram at JuliaCampbell77. Keep changing the world, you nonprofit unicorn. Oh,